Well, I've had a cold for the past few days. The month of October is the month when I started this blog. So I thought maybe one time I can actually organize a bit of a celebration, especially considering the fact that it's been 5 years this year. 5 years! I've had this blog for 5 years. That, for me, that is really an accomplishment, because I normally can't really hold on to something for that long. So, in celebration for the past 5 years of blogging, thank you to everybody who have met through the blog, which I didn't expect when I started, because when I started, I just wanted to write. I wanted to write about something. And that something being opera. I wanted really badly to write about something, so I just did. And eventually I just met a lot of people, and these days going to the opera by myself is not that often an occurrence as it used to be, because there are just so many people that like to come to the opera with me. Thank you very much. I like to go to the opera with you too. This is, of course, a hopefully comedic bit about La Clemenza di Tito, seen as a true crime. There you go. And if you're wondering, why true crime? It's because La Clemenza di Tito is based on a crime. Sort of true. True according to Metastasio, so true within the opera world. So are lots of operas. Although I think it's interesting to look at opera librettos from a different perspective, I don't want to appear glib about the seriousness of true crime and how it affects people. I hope you'll enjoy this incursion for what it is. Opera as true crime. Today, La Clemenza di Tito. Rome, 79 AD. The morning of Thursday, 9 September, started off pleasantly breezy along the winding alleys of the imperial neighborhood known as the Capitoline Hill. An especially torrid and tragic summer was slowly coming to an end. This morning, the benevolent breeze rolling from the umbrella pines eased Rome's richest residents into coming to terms with the tragic events that had destroyed most of their luxury estates in Pompeii and Herculaneum. It was supposed to be an especially joyful occasion, bringing together Romans from all walks of life, as the emperor was due to announce his betrothal. A day-long program of games was scheduled in the state-of-the-art 50,000-seat new arena, nicknamed the Colosseum. But something went horribly wrong that morning. At 11:50 a.m., we received an anonymous call regarding an alleged brush fire at the imperial residence on the Capitoline Hill, stated Mr. Publio, captain of a Praetorian Guard and head investigator of the incident. The fire brigade was already at the location when we arrived. Due to the dry summer conditions coupled with the day's breeze, the fire had already spread considerably, and the fire brigade was having trouble containing it. I sent part of the guards to help out with the fire. An especially trained team from the guards contingent immediately started investigating the incident under my personal command. Our first concern is to locate and evacuate all the residents, starting with Emperor Titus. For a few hours, there was confusion among the populace already gathered in the forum for the upcoming games. The popular emperor could not be immediately located, and some feared the worst. Wild rumors spread. Did you hear what I said? I bet you didn't, because it was too loud. They couldn't locate the emperor. They looked for him everywhere. And the populace was really scared. Of course, rumors spread, because nobody could care less about the 5,000 lashings or 10,000 lashings or however many there were. Some say the fire wasn't an accident. Miss Servilia, a young lady from the imperial court, stated to the media as she made her way out of the affected area, presenting minor smoke inhalation symptoms, which could not, after all, affect her ability to talk to the news-starved media. I was enjoying the morning with friends in our garden on the Palatine Hill when we saw the plume burst out from the Campidoglio. We took a few selfies with the magnificent flames, but I knew I had to find my brother and my boyfriend who were at the court at the time. We ran to the palace, and let me tell you, it was really easy getting in due to the general mayhem. Boyfriend's in one piece, thank the gods. My brother is quite shaken though. We heard the emperor might be in danger. We hope for the best. Soon Mr. Publio kept the public up to date with the new developments of the investigation. One male individual was found unconscious at the scene, having sustained stab wounds to the chest. All we can disclose at this point is that he is not the emperor and that he is out of danger. In the mid-afternoon, the emperor appeared in the forum after refusing personal security detail. It transpired that he was taking a stroll in the gardens at the time the fire broke out and had thus been away from the danger from the start. The massive crowd gathered in the forum broke into spontaneous cheers and the emperor greeted them, shaken but not worse for wear. Friends, I'm very touched by the outpouring of sympathy, but I am fine and I do not believe I was ever in danger. My opinion is this is a brush fire. I cannot imagine that anyone would attempt something like this. However, as there is an investigation going on, I have to postpone the games until tomorrow and I hope you will understand. Shortly before noon the next day, Mr. Publio announced they had the suspect in custody. Mr. Sesto was arrested in the morning of Friday, 10 September, at his residence on the Palatine Hill, an exclusive Rome neighborhood just south of the Capitoline Hill. Those of Hollow Celebrity News are most likely in shock, seeing as how a wealthy landowner Mr. Sesto is a very close friend of the Emperor, in whose company he was spotted just the day before during the dedication of the Vesuvius Relief Fund. Head investigator Mr. Publio noticed that also at the residence at the time was Miss Vitellia, a well-known socialite and daughter of the late Emperor Vitellius. When questioned about her presence at such an early hour, Miss Vitellia stated she was visiting Mr. Sesto, with whom she was acquainted and in whose company she intended to watch the games later that morning. Miss Vitellia was allowed to leave. Due to this new development in the case, the games and the announcement of the betrothal were once again postponed. At 14:30 hours, Mr. Publio held a press conference in the forum. We can now reveal the name of the individual discovered in the imperial apartments yesterday afternoon. Mr. Lentulo has since recovered enough to give a full confession, but we did not want to disclose this information before we had a suspect in custody. Based on Mr. Lentulo's confession, we have arrested Mr. Sesto for treason, conspiracy and attempted murder. Mr. Publio also revealed a curious detail that strengthened his belief in the veracity of Mr. Lentulo's confession. At the time of the attack, Mr. Lentulo was wearing a ceremonial robe, recognized to belong to the Emperor. It is not known why Mr. Lentulo chose to wear said garment. The Daily Rome revealed that the Emperor prefers to keep his ceremonial garments in a shabby, unlocked wardrobe located in the corridor leading to the throne room. According to insiders cited by the same paper, certain young courtiers enjoy playing imperial dress-up games in their spare time. The Roman Express had a field day speculating about Miss Vitellia's presence at Mr. Sesto's residence so early in the morning. Mr. Publio warned against media outlets spreading fake news, an offense punishable by 10,000 lashings. Regarding the arrest, Mr. Publio added, at first, Mr. Sesto denied any involvement in the conspiracy, but after lengthy questioning, he confessed to all charges. You might remember Miss Servilia of Palatine Hill, who was looking for her brother and fiancé. Celebrity followers already know she is the sister of Mr. Sesto. She has since enlisted the help of her fiancé, Mr. Arnio, a promising young solicitor, as her brother's legal defense. Mr. Arnio started by citing evidence of police brutality during Mr. Sesto's questioning, as well as the denial of legal counsel. It wouldn't be the first time the police forced an innocent into confessing something of which they were not guilty, whilst withholding legal aid, stated Mr. Arnio. The emperor allowed the confession to be thrown out of court, commenting he was disappointed that his law enforcement was still using tactics of intimidation, which he saw as outdated and incompatible with such values as innocent until proven guilty. Mr. Publio later bitterly remarked to the media that the emperor thinks everyone is as honest as he is, which, with all due respect, he thought was only admirable in theory. Mr. Sesto surprised all, especially Mr. Arnio, who had been admired for his attacks on the unpopular dictatorial attitude of the law enforcement by deciding to plead guilty to all charges. He refused to give a reason for his actions, stating cryptically, "I am an unhappy soul." This curious statement gave Mr. Arnio the opportunity to change the plea to not guilty on grounds of diminished capacity. Mr. Publio once again intimated to the media that he was not convinced there was anything wrong with Mr. Sesto. He appeared alarmed by the emperor's continuous attachment to the charismatic landowner. The emperor accepted the new plea presented by Mr. Arnio and, in a surprising move, suspended the proceedings until after the games and the betrothal ceremony. "The people have gone through a lot already. I believe some relief is necessary before the day is over." The public was in for yet another stunning development, just as the sun was setting in splendor over the sold-out arena and the games were finally about to begin. the emperor revealed Miss Vitellia as his future bride, a move which some later said caused Mr. Publio to facepalm. You might remember we first encountered Miss Vitellia just that morning at the residence of prime suspect Mr. Sesto. And indeed the stunning development of the day was not that Miss Vitellia would succeed to the much coveted role of empress, but her own statement. Instead of words of praise for the emperor, she threw herself at his feet and made the confession that stopped everyone in their tracks. I am the real mastermind of the conspiracy. Sesto acted on my orders. History noted that the emperor was stunned, but stood his ground with dignity as he asked her for the reason. I simply couldn't stand your goodness. We've all grown up during an era of dissipation and degradation of moral compass, and you didn't look all that different at the time. All of a sudden you changed. That's just weird. Later on, Miss Servilia, the momentary darling of gossip columnists, commented it was in keeping with Miss Vitellia's style to make such dramatic public appearances. But she had to admit this had been the most out there yet.
I can now reveal that the emperor had asked me first to be his bride, but I already have a boyfriend, and you probably notice how brilliantly he pleads, so I had to politely refuse. The emperor understood and gave us his blessing. Anya and I are so grateful for his wisdom and benevolence. Let me add another thing. I'm really happy Vitellia finally had the guts to admit to it, you know? Everybody who knows Sesto could have told you he's not a cold-blooded killer. On the contrary, he's sweet and sensitive, and he would do anything for his loved ones, especially the women. Unfortunately, in this case.
The emperor decided to keep the mystery about his superhuman goodness and handed over the following verdicts. Mr. Lentulo was put on 10-year probation, Miss Vitellia was ordered to community service relating to the Vesuvius disaster, and Mr. Sesto went to recuperate for a while on the beautiful island of Capri. Although the fire was supposed to have happened while Tito was away touring the Vesuvius-affected areas in 80 AD, I had this happen 2 weeks after the Tuesday, according to the perpetual calendar, 24 August 79 AD, which is the date of the catastrophic volcanic eruption. I looked into Roman law a bit to see what exactly qualified as treason, and it was initially a military offense. It referred to sending letters or messages to the enemy, giving up the standard or fortress, and desertion. The scope of treason expanded under Tiberius, so we can imagine, without going too much into it, that things were similar under the Flavians. There is a brief list of treasons that are not military offenses, of which the following apply to our context. The murder of, or conspiracy to murder, certain magistrates of high rank, or incitement to sedition. Also of note is that someone accused of treason loses the privilege of not being put under torture, but I wanted Anio and Tito to appear particularly progressive.